Under normal circumstances, you hear a lot about our events, certainly a lot about grammar, and a lot about our culture. This time we're switching it up a little bit and we're going way back to the beginnings. The beginnings being your children. Today I'm sitting in die Kinderstube. This is the podcast of the Germanic American Institute.
Welcome.
Willkommen.
Where Germanic-speaking European countries...
Germany. Deutschland.
Austria.
Österreich.
Switzerland.
Blend with the Midwestern United States.
Hallo. Hallo.
Servus.
Grüezi.
We are here and there, and we invite you to come along on the journey. There aren't a lot of people on this planet who are as misplaced as I am sitting in the Kinderstube, being 6 foot two and twice as wide as most of the children who attend here. So I do have assistants in the Kinderstube, namely the director of the Kinderstube and the assistant director. Babette and Emily, welcome to the podcast for the first time.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi. Let's start from the beginning. Kinderstube, that's the one thing that we usually don't talk about a lot anyway. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows the kids are here. We hear the noises in the house. They certainly have a lot of fun, but it's not something that commonly comes up in conversation. Can you just give me a sort of quick little rundown, if you will, as to what is Kinderstube? How did it come about? When did it start? What is Kinderstube actually here for?
I think Kinderstube started, I'm not exactly sure when the thought about it started, but I believe it came out of the need for the Germans that gathered here and got together that to think, oh, wouldn't it be great to have some organized group for our children to get together, play together, learn together. And sometime around 2004, 2005, Kinderstube was founded, and I don't remember by whom, I should know this. Gina knows this. But was founded and started here in St. Paul with probably just a small group of 10 to 20 children. And then within a year or two, expanded to a second site in Minneapolis and gave the opportunity for parents to bring their children to a structured preschool environment. And by keeping the culture and the language learning alive and making it relatable to them. And now we're looking at 60 families in our program.
60 families in the program and equals 60 kids or more, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
What is generally the expected outcome, I suppose, when a parent brings their child by? What do they expect to see?
I think most parents expect obviously some language skills by the time their children are done. Some of them may expect full fluency, which is not always the case. We have very varied outcomes, I would say. We have some children coming out of the program at the end beautifully with very advanced skills, and it's hard to tell why. Sometimes it may be because they're really attending full time all the time. They're here with us, and so their exposure is higher than a child that only comes a few days a week. But at the same time, we have children, some of them are here full time, and yet they're just maybe understanding a lot, and their comprehension level is very, very high, but the actual production of the language may not be the same between all of them.
Is it more of an immersive kind of experience here? Are we truly talking from the first day you're actually stepping into Kinderstube as a child? You're being essentially exposed to and immersed into German with the language structure, the command structure, with the requests, with the Bitte und Danke, so the formalities and so forth. What is the immersion principle like?
Yeah, well, this is actually a topic that we've really been focusing on, of course, ever since we began, we've recently had some really wonderful trainings with Tara Fortune from the Carla Institute at the U of M. And going into this new school year, we're having a more intentional even focus on how we use German and don't use English, even with the parents when they come to drop off their kids. We really, the teachers do a wonderful job of sticking with German from day one with the kids. And because we have a really small program, we have the luxury of mixed ages. So we have ages 3 to 5 all together in the same room. Other preschool programs often split with 3s, 4s, and 5s in different rooms. And so we while we welcome each fall and in the summer some new children that are just barely three and have no language skills in German, we've got five-year-olds that have been with our program for several years. And so not only do the teachers expose them to German, but they expose each other to language use. And it really is a natural way of learning language as opposed to teaching grammar the way you would in an adult language class.
How do you go about it with children? I mean, I'm on the adult teaching side, so I have very, very little knowledge about how to actually teach kids. How is it done in the best fashion possible?
It's really just a natural way, just like Emily was just saying. It's they're in their height of language learning at this age. So every 3, 4, 5-year-old, even if they're just exposed to one mother language, that is kind of that height of learning new words every day. They're learning new English words every day. And alongside, they're just learning German words. And to them, it's very natural. And a lot of times the outcome is very funny for us because it's a very mixed sentence that comes back. And it's just a method for the children. They build different networks in their brain, realistically, they build different networks in their brain. And at some point in life, they can choose specifically from each network of that specific target language. But at the time of learning, they mix and match, and it comes out in a funny situation, like if you eat something giftig, you have to go to the Krankenhaus. Something like that is what we hear at school.
Right. So basically they grow up with an implanted English-German dictionary in their head simply because of the exposure to the terminology. So a chair, their Sessel, they have both available depending on, of course, the choice of language that they want to make.
And the age that we have them in our program, they very much choose whatever comes to mind, whichever word pops back out of their brain. And eventually, and obviously with ongoing language education or depending on what program they might continue, or maybe their parents are German speakers, their language defines, it gets more developed and they can.
What's the earliest somebody can start?
Three.
So 3 years of age. Come to Kinderstube and then stay for how long?
Generally two to three years, because most kids then go to kindergarten at age 5.
And do we have a German-speaking kindergarten in town, or is it the German immersion
school? The kindergarten
program
would be a program of the TCGIS, the Twin Cities
German Immersion School. So basically this is really the prep phase to then take that entire bulk of language skills into the next phase of their life.
It can be.
Okay.
And then obviously given the structure of the TCGIS, it is a lottery-based admission process, so not every child does get into that school, and not every parent, especially in our Minneapolis program, may be able to bridge that commute or to arrange that. So many of them ask, especially in tours or when we meet them first, what are my options? What if I do not get into that school? What if that school is not in my range of morning commute? And then we talk to them about different things.
Yep. Particularly all the options we have here at the GAI. So Samstagsschule, we start at age 4 all the way up through high school. And we've got our summer camp programs here in the summertime for early elementary and up into middle elementary school. We do encourage families, even if they're not able to go to a German-speaking school after Kinderstube, there's still plenty of opportunities for them to continue learning German. And it also preps them really in a wonderful way to learn any other foreign language. So, you know, some of our families do end up going to a different immersion school, not German, but maybe Mandarin or French. So it just really builds that foundation, like Babette said, about learning languages and learning structures.
What's the, from a parental perspective, I suppose, what's the day in the life of a Kinderstube student, pupil?
Our program is from 7:30 to 4:30 every day, Monday through Friday. So most families will probably arrive between 7:30 and 8:30. The children have an opportunity at that point to just explore the classroom and kind of engage in some free play. I would say it's probably one of their favorite times because that gives them choices to choose different areas of the room that they want to play with, gives them the choice to play with their buddies, and kind of a little bit more unstructured at that point. The teachers at that point are sort of in a guidance role. They are available, they play, they communicate with parents during drop-off, and they are just kind of there to guide more so social skills and coexisting in a group for children during that time. And then we move on with group times, circle times, where we expose them to more of a thematic context, and just kind of that's more of our learning program of the day. So it might be a little bit more intensive on the language component, on early school readiness skills, early math, storytelling, story reading, things like that, music,
vocabulary words for that theme, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The thought that came to mind as you explain the day in the life, I'm wondering if some parents have made sort of the bridge, essentially, to think about going to drop their child off at daycare or drop their child off at Kinderstube and essentially foster language learning, socialization, as well as cultural immersion into something that is not readily available in the typical daycare kind of situation. So would this potentially be a considerable parallel, perhaps even be more advantageous to do this?
In my opinion, it would be more advantageous because actually us, even if we were just a preschool program, I think very highly of our teaching staff, of their education, of their backgrounds, of their experiences. And so even in that perspective alone, I think it would be a very quality environment for any child to attend. And then we add the language component to it, which just makes it even more stimulating and advantageous, like you said, for brain development and anything else. But I think most of all, what we pride ourselves a lot is just kind of our concepts and our philosophies regarding building of social skills, self-help skills, conflict resolution, empowering kids really to just become these little citizens that are aware that there's a bigger world out there, there's different cultures out there, and that they're going to be able to go off to school and just sort of function very well in a group setting and, you know, respecting adults and teachers and others around them. That's sort of the goal.
You mentioned cognition twice now, so I'm going to have to jump on this for a second. Have you noticed structural changes in, let's say, behavioral patterns or perhaps cognition patterns itself with students who are exposed to a language that is by far more structured and far more rules-based than English, for instance? German with its case structures and all the different tenses, and of course, everything has a gender in German as opposed to in English. So much more structured, much more rule-based, perhaps a little bit more logical. Do you see that students follow suit in terms of looking at life, perhaps from a more logical perspective, from just simply from a cognition perspective that changes as opposed to what you usually see? Loaded question.
Loaded question.
I think that's a difficult question because at least my background, and I think, well, Babette has a little bit of a different background with working with preschoolers not in a non-immersion setting. Excuse me. We don't have a lot to compare it to in our context because we really are focusing on German all day. And we don't have a separate set of like a control group of kids that we're working on in English. And my other background has also been, you know, with other programs at the Germanic American Institute and in a junior high and high school settings teaching German. So that's a very interesting question. It would be difficult for us, I think, to answer it completely.
And I think it's hard for us because we don't always are in contact with them as they grow older. I mean, some of them just through siblings and through returning families, we may see, you know, how their personalities evolve or unfold. But it's hard to say if a more stricter language like German has an effect on your personality or your character or your way of life. I really think I could not speak of an example that I would know.
Well, the reason why I'm asking is because I've heard it from adult students in language classes and a little bit of additional research. And most of it is anecdotal. I don't think there is actually anything empirical out there. But a lot of people reported, so to speak, that they found themselves looking at it, at life, quote unquote, at certain tasks in life, with a more structured perspective because the culture of the language behind everything is so structured.
Interesting.
So when I go now essentially down the path of German culture, where everything really is structured and everything really works on very exact timing, and late is being 5 minutes early, right?
Right.
we work with very particular patterns that we don't commonly apply in the same lens here in the US. So I was wondering if perhaps there is an early onset to be seen with kids, but of course, almost impossible to measure without a control group. maybe we should consider a control group.
I will say that the something that I notice as a strength of our program, and something that struck me when I walked in the door about a year ago to this role, the students are really encouraged to, like Babette said, have self-help skills and be really independent in what they do. And maybe because we are people that have either grown up in Germany or lived in Germany for a while, our classrooms are very organized and the kids fall into that pretty easily, that they really like the structure of, you know, the blocks have little templates to show where each shape of block goes when they're done playing. And the kids, I just love how they really take pride in lining up those blocks the way that they go at the end of the Bauecke time.
How to park your car.
I would say that's a little bit more of a learned behavior rather than the language influencing, but...
Sure.
And generally speaking, just from an early childhood background, children thrive with that kind of consistency. They actually take safety in guidelines. As much as they push every day to get out of these guidelines and out of the
boundaries,
they actually take a high level of comfort from being... set back, like, no, this is what we do, this is how we do. And our teachers try to be very consistent among each other so that no matter who is on staff on any given day, the expectations are the same, the rules in quotes are the same, the so I think the children like that environment, even if subconsciously, because it just kind of gives them a path and it gives them clarity of what is expected of me.
So metaphorically, before you color outside the lines, you got to know how to color inside the
yes,
lines.
Kind there
of
you
idea.
Go.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. What are the common questions that you actually get from parents, sort of the FAQ, if you will? What are the, let's say, perhaps... we addressed expectations, but some of the concerns eventually and some of the... the idea behind what is a parent expecting from us in the Kinderstube?
I think one question that parents often have, particularly parents who are coming to our program who themselves don't have any background in German, they wonder how their children are going to function during the day, especially before they really know the other students and the staff well. They might have a little bit of anxiety about their children feeling comfortable if they don't know the words that they're hearing around them. And something that we've seen time and time again is that the kids tend to feel really comfortable with staff, right away, because we're not just speaking a foreign language to them. We are using all of those other, nonverbal skills, and we really put a lot of thought into, you know, coming down to their level, speaking at eye level with them, using soft voices, comforting. There are just so many other ways that you are able to communicate other than with the words that you speak. And the kids really respond to that both on an emotional level, and also they understand a lot of things without knowing the words yet. So I think that's kind of a common question that parents have, is how is my child going to function if he or she doesn't know the language yet?
And I do mention to parents, especially in new tours or in visits, that it can certainly be, we're aware it can certainly be stressful for a young child. It's a different environment than what they're used to. It's a change from their daily routine. And the child may not even be fully aware that this is a different type of, I mean, stress is a big word, but in a way it can be stressful. So for them, that may be, maybe in form of them being more tired at the end of the day, or being maybe a little bit unsure at times, or, you know, different ways children will maybe make it known in different ways. And many of them will just float through and are oblivious to the stress factors and are just fine, because like Emily was saying, you know, we've learned 80% of communication is nonverbal. So they do just fine. They will find their way. And I've known from my own children that at that age group especially, they had very selective hearing, even in whatever language they understood, they chose to only pick the 20% that they wanted. So they go just fine through the day.
When you think throughout your tenure of being at the Kinderstube involved with children. Does any particular highlight stand out to you? Any particular kids who showed up perhaps and then completely just exceeded what your initial expectations or perhaps impressions were, came out of their shell and became essentially really immersed and eventually changed who they were when they first showed up?
Oh, there's several. several come to mind, yeah. I mean, it can be in any ranges from having really emotional difficulties at the time, being very young and having never had to separate from their parents. And there were some that I've carried around for weeks and months. And they may or may have not gotten some special treatments. And the teachers may or may have not approved of me coming in and sweeping them out. But it worked and it gave them a little bit more attention. And eventually they were comfortable and became part of the group. And for others, it may have been that they were a little bit more, maybe not used to such a structured environment and more in an age where we're not defiant, but where they were a little bit more pushing those boundaries and then eventually just kind of noticed through a group dynamic or through their other friends that it worked just better to be part of a bigger thing. And then they adjusted. So, different ways. A lot of times it's usually the really young ones or sometimes that are just, have maybe not ever been exposed to another program. We give them a little bit of extra attention and
personalization.
They all come around. I've said it many times in many years to many of our teachers, like, remember so-and-so? When we're in that moment of maybe some difficulty, we try to think of these children that, a few months later, they were just our prime student and everything was just fine.
Emily, anything comes to mind?
Yeah, just the other week I was over in Minneapolis. I tend to work more closely with St. Paul staff and students because my office is here. So I don't get to see the Minneapolis kids as often. And I was in one of their rooms and talking with one of the little girls who's only been in our program for about a year. And I said, "Which one of your parents is German?" And she said, "They're not German." And I just was floored at her language growth within 1 year. She came in with no German and sounded like a little German child. So just seeing those cases where, the language just really clicks is phenomenal.
After years and years of having been a Kinderstube student, what do you hear from parents as they at some point get kicked out of the nest and have to move on, perhaps to the German immersion school if they get lucky enough to get in, or to any other language school in the area? What do you commonly hear from the parents as you unfortunately at some point have to depart?
Well, I think the fact that many of the families, we see them again with their next younger sibling or their next younger sibling, that fact speaks volumes for us, because obviously they're trusting the program, they're trusting the staff. We've been very fortunate to have a big core staff that has been with us for a very long time. So they take comfort in that, or I would as a parent, to just see the same faces and know their teaching methods. And so that's obviously a great, even unspoken feedback. If you bring your next child to us, that's a good thing. And in terms of actually like feedback or verbal comments that were made, many of them have noticed or have let us know that they adapted very well to kindergarten and American school systems. So that's always great. We've gotten some cute feedback from the TCGIS. I think it was the music department.
Yeah.
I forgot. We're out of, I think, 90-some students. They had sort of picked the or had rewarded the top five most friendliest or helpful, most helpful students or something like that. And I think five out of the six or four out of the five were Kinderstube graduates. So we were very proud at that moment social skills.
They were noted as the go-to kids for substitute teachers because they were very helpful and knew what to do.
We are making moves.
Yeah.
I did like, as you said earlier, little citizens. So we create responsible citizens of tomorrow.
Kleine Bürger.
Kleine
Weltbürger.
Not too long ago, in the dining room over at the main house, I saw what I would call an exhibition of particular works of art. I think there was a nature topic, perhaps, that was explored. Mm-hmm. Was this something that Kinderstube student did?
Yeah, we had our work displayed at the end of the school year, kind of in celebration of the end of the year. We always have a potluck dinner, and there's a little performance with all of the students, and then a special recognition of the graduates going off to kindergarten or moving away to different schools. And we had some, the main theme was puppets. So they did a big puppetry over the course of a few weeks or a month even. And so they had marionettes and hand puppets, and then there were some science experiments, I think, that some projects that had to do with floating and maybe some objects from nature. We our teachers really do a great job of being creative, of course, with their curriculum, because we don't have any there's no curriculum out there, surprisingly, in America for a German immersion preschool. So we create it, and teachers particularly at our St. Paul campus, but also sometimes in Minneapolis, really pick up on topics or themes that the kids are interested in, and they take that and run with it and plan curriculum around the kids' interests. And it's really neat to see where that takes them. And oftentimes it's nature-based.
How long is the waiting list to get your child into Kinderstube?
It's actually quite reasonable.
It fluctuates, I would say.
Very politically correct. I like it.
Well, I sometimes take a comparison to the Twin Cities German Immersion School, which I know they've had their waiting lists in the 100 and plus. So we're nowhere near there.
Okay.
But we have had a steady waiting list in St. Paul. And I think I credit that to two factors, or maybe three. Number one, because it's a great program, obviously. But number two, we're closer to the Twin Cities German Immersion School in St. Paul. So I think more families here are within this area interested in both schools eventually. And also because here in St. Paul, we only have one classroom. So that fills up very quickly and creates, obviously, a much bigger wait list. In Minneapolis, we've been able, with a similar wait list, but about 2 or 3 years ago, able to add a second classroom. So there we have twice as many spots for enrollment. And so we do fill them generally, and then the waitlist is a little bit shorter there because we just have more space.
How much in advance should a parent consider to actually contact us to get on the waitlist?
I think they can contact us anytime, and we've had some really funny situations there. We had one family that contacted us with a pregnant baby in their belly, and we didn't even have a name. It was, I forgot, baby Johnson or something, because the baby wasn't even born yet. And the birth date was given to me as the due date. So they were 3 years ahead of the game, and they were likely going to get in.
That's a whole new level of proactive.
Which is not common.
We even topped it, though, this year at Deutsche Tage. We were at the info booth, and I had one couple that is not even pregnant yet, and they wanted to know if they could get on the wait list and just, you know, guess which year they might have a child that would be three. So...
Yeah.
So we do have our wait list is now out to 2023-24, something like that. So
okay. Is it a essentially a numbered wait list that if somebody else drops out, you're just moving up one in rank? Okay, got it.
Yep.
And how would somebody get on that wait list? Can we go through the website? Do we have to contact you directly? How does this usually work?
On our website there is a tab that lists registration information, and one of the sub-tabs, is that a word?
Tabs.
There's a button. Another tab shows future families or waitlisted families. And that's just a form that they fill out, very basic, basically just birth date and name and anticipated year. And then it puts them into our system, and we contact them once that school year comes around. And some of them change their mind and they move away or explore different options. But our registration process usually starts in January of the year that will then start in September for the school year. And we go down a list, like you said.
And it's the same website that we use generally for the GEI.
Yep. We have a Kinderstube website that's linked on the GEI.
Mm-hmm. So all you got to do is hop on over to gai-mn.org, find the appropriate link, Kinderstube, and then click the tab to get a little bit closer to actually registering. So if you're not yet pregnant, this might be something you want to do today. just to be on the safe side. If there's one tip that you want to impart upon the students who hopefully listen to this recording, what is it that you want to put out there for them to remember and take with you, or with them rather, as they at some point have to leave from here. One
our
tip,
students?
Yeah, your students. One tip, one motto, one line of things to keep in mind.
For me, it's just keep up that curiosity that they have at that age anyways, you know, and mm-hmm. hopefully we gave them a little bit of a boost to make the world smaller, and they're more comfortable in going to a different culture, going to Europe, going around the world and meeting new people and exploring that and not having so much. For me as a German native, I find often that the Americans, because America itself, the U.S. is so big, you don't have to ever leave it, really. And so many of them are in this bubble, I think, and they're very comfortable in that bubble and feel like it'd be so difficult to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so by giving our students that little bit of gift of language and culture, I hope that it will be easier for them to venture out, and ultimately it will be rewarding and they will love it.
So keep curious. Emily?
I think the other piece I would say is also stay positive. I think we have a really wonderful positive space, even when we have difficult situations at Kinderstube. And if they can maintain that positivity throughout their lives and willingness to listen to others and resolve conflicts independently or with the help of people around them, they'd do well.
I think mine would be very self-servingly, always listen. That can go in so many different directions. Is there something that I should have asked that I have not asked? Any big topics that I completely stepped around and forgot about?
I don't think so. The only thing I would mention, I mean, Babette did mention we believe that we opened our doors in 2004, and now it's 2019, so we're celebrating our 15th year of existence. And we're really proud of that and happy, and we look forward to having some celebrations this year in honor of that.
Yeah, so. And those celebrations, as they come about, we'll, of course, announce in the regular recordings as well as we get closer to each one of those dates.
One thought that just came up about the 15-year anniversary, and he may be upset if I mention this right now, and I may not mention his name, but for the first time ever, we have had, or we have currently, our very first Kinderstube alumni working for us in a volunteer position. He is now 16 years old and has inquired for the last few years to be around and help. So our 2005 Kinderstube child is now a young man and is volunteering at Kinderstube.
And
so
if you follow
us,
yes, and if you follow us on Facebook at all, you may have seen his little profile, because we did share some more information about him on there.
So the flock is coming home.
Yes. Yeah, so hopefully kind of future staff.
That's really cool. Facebook, how do we find us on Facebook?
Kinderstube preschool. I don't know the exact address right now, but
you administer it.
I'm guessing Kinderstube preschool would get anybody close to that. We try to be very very respectful in terms of privacy and things. We don't ever mention children's names or anything like that, but we try to give a picture of daily activities, fun water days, cool art projects, maybe a visitor, maybe a field trip for parents, either prospective parents or obviously current parents that are following us, to kind of see what are the days like, what do we do. And
then notices about fundraisers. We do an annual Easter egg hunt here at the GAI that benefits Kinderstube, and we're present at preschool fairs, so we put those kinds of dates on there as well.
Perfect. Well, from our end of the big house with the adults, if you will, but I have seen a ton of kids actually in attendance as well. The big event upcoming is, of course, the St. Paul Oktoberfest, September 14th, the weekend of the 14th. So just around the corner. I do believe that we're still looking for volunteers. So if you want to spend some time with us and pour some beer and, of course, enjoy one or two, then please hop on over to the website as well. It's gai-mn.org and click the appropriate link, and Linda will be happy to accommodate you. Ladies, Babette, Emily, thank you very much for being here. That was pretty much it. We'll be seeing you again, that's for sure.
Thank you.
That was it out of the Kinderstube. Little out of my element, but it was fun nonetheless. A lot of interesting knowledge. And again, if you are planning on registering your child, born or not yet quite conceived, just hop on over to our website, ji-mn.org, find the Kinderstube link, and get in touch with us. This is Michael signing off. We'll talk to you again soon. Tschüss.